Welcome to the San Antonio FC Fancast. My name is Royce. I still have half a voice, so it's not Royce the voice, it's Royce half the voice, which is unfortunate because allergies and everything that comes with them sucks. And I'm sure everybody else is going, well, most people here are going through the same thing in San Antonio because there's still mold and oak spores and all kinds of fun imaginable in the air. Thanks for joining us today, tonight. On this Tuesday night, apologies for the couple of days being late, but that's kind of how it's gone lately. But hey, we're here. We're back. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's get it going. All right. We got the bases loaded here. I'm at bat on first base. We have Matthew from FTC, the San Antonio, one of the three supporters groups for San Antonio FC. Matt, how are you?
All right. Tired. Yeah,
it's Tuesday, man, and it's Tuesday during Fiesta, so I'm tired of traffic. How about that? On second base, we have Jonathan with a bluish moon. Jonathan, how are you?
Doing all right. I mean, I don't really do much driving, so I thankfully get to avoid all the Fiesta chaos. And
must be nice.
I'm also not very athletic, so you do not want me playing second base or even water boy for your baseball team. Just a heads up.
Crazy.
Hey, it's we could do worse. We could do worse. And at the hot corner, we got Rafa. Rafa, a collegiate level goalkeeper coach. Rafa, how are you?
Pretty good. Just enjoyed the birthday weekend and just raced back today because I had a college forum. In the nick of time.
Yeah, man, happy birthday, happy belated birthday. Everybody make sure in the comments wish Rafa a happy birthday for sure. How was it? Was it restful? I don't think it was restful.
No, I went to Oyster Bake, believe it or not.
Oh, that's so right. Yeah, you got a bunch of swag signed by the not the Quiet Riot guy, but
Steven Percy, a rat.
Yep. Yeah. I see, growing up in Houston, I used to listen to Rock 101 all the time. And Rock 101, they would play a lot of Quiet Riot. And by a lot of Quiet Riot, I mean they would only play Come On, Bring the Noise. And they play Rat, and Rat's big song is Round and Round. And I would always get them confused, and I could never keep them straight, either Rat or Quiet Riot. So I still mix them up.
Quiet Riot will be here Saturday.
Sure, that's a fun fact. That's very interesting.
At the Margarita Pour Off. So you're going there.
No kidding. Very cool. Very cool. I enjoy both of the bands. I just always confuse them. And then it's Quiet Riot sings metal.
Metal Health. Yeah.
Metal Health. Thank you. That's the song. Thank you. And that's metal your
health or mental health.
Metal health.
Metal health.
Metal health. So that's your 80s metal talk. Thanks for joining us. Anyway. Let's get on to the SAFC stuff. Let's get off of that. Glad everyone's doing all right. Hope you listening in podcast land, video land, wherever you're listening, hope you're doing all right as well. First line of business is talking about transactions. They're done. We're last transactions were Abu retiring and Chol. We don't have any transactions to speak of this time around. So crickets, as Jonathan said, crickets. So moving right along, we'll get to the SAFC alumni portion, SAFC family portion. We do have two big bits of news for that. Number one is Tani Oluwaseyi. Is Tani Oluwaseyi and still doing wonderful things in MLS, making any backline look very silly as he runs at him and does ridiculous things. So we know what Tani does, and he continues to do the exact same thing for Minnesota United. So it's great to see from him. Did any of y'all see Tani's goal and run over the weekend? You didn't see it, Jonathan?
Saw the replay.
I saw the replay on Twitter. Absolutely. I'm not going to pay for Apple TV. What are we talking about here? Anyway, and the other big bit of news for the alumni was, MLS, Matt, you didn't see the MLS game? Amazing. All right.
I was at the Houston game.
Sorry. Apologies. That sounds terrible. What a terrible place to be.
Oh my God, don't get me started about it.
If you're in Austin or Houston, equally bad. Anyway.
I was going to say, he would have been cheering against Austin. You take that as somewhat of a win.
Okay, I mean, sure. 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 I mean, either way, it's sure. So, the other big bit of alumni news is Jose Gallegos' Suna Yuska is officially 3 points out from promotion. So whether they win this weekend or the team that's in third place loses, they get automatically promoted. So that's very, very exciting for them. We'll definitely be following along. Can't watch it streaming, unfortunately, but we'll definitely be following along. So, and I never confirmed whether Gallegos' jersey is up for auction or not. I never confirmed that. Jonathan, if you want to do some quick research, I'll move right along, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. I believe that's pretty much all we had for that segment. We really don't need to go to a break. That was a quick segment, so let's move right along. Let's get into the 3-1 win against Hartford Athletic. Our starting lineup had one change from the previous week's game against Orange County, the 0-0 draw against Orange County. And that was Lacey coming off and Chole getting the start instead of Lacey up front. Rafa, how did you feel about the lineup against OC and the stability in the back, plus adding Chole instead of Lacey up top?
I think Chole had a good game against, I guess, OC. Just the limited numbers, but you can see the flash. Like he's going to be a difference maker. So, and then, like I say, he's got the height and the speed and that MLS experience, which Marcino loves. So it made sense to put him up there and then just kind of save Lacey as a sub, you know, and Lacey does a great job, you know, coming in off the bench, you know, kind of like a change of pace. So, but as far as the rest of the lineup, I know we do have lineup changes with Manley out. Like I said, we still had Bonnie in. Bonnie did a great job the last week and it's getting some confidence, the back three with them. So, and just basically we're ready to go take care of business there in Hartford.
Man, I'm glad you mentioned Bonnie. Last week we mentioned him and we talked real quick about his blocks and his defensive production against OC. I want to talk about Bonnie in this game against Hartford Athletic and his distribution. I think that was a very underrated thing. He put in a lot of really nice upfield passes to the midfield, to Hackinson, to Hernandez, whoever was open, very accurately bypassed the front line and the midfield for Hartford and really got us into space. I was very impressed with that. Although the goal did end up coming from his side when he and Tainter switched and Epps kind of got the run on Tainter. I thought Bonnie had another really, really solid match in this one. So let's go quickly to the injury report. The injury report once again included Manley, and that's why Bonnie got the start. As we were talking about, Mbongyu is also injured still. But for the first time since, from what I gather, since late last year, Lucho was off the IL. Apparently, almost the entire last half of the season with El Paso, he was on the IL for a pretty significant injury. Jonathan, do you know by any chance what Lucho was suffering through, what he was rehabbing through? From what everyone was saying, it seems like it was a very significant injury.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what it ended up being, but obviously if it kept him out, you know, at least from the SAFC front since he got in, and then potentially sometime at the end of last season, you know, it must not have been not just a knock, obviously, and maybe one of those where, kind of like we've seen over the last couple of years with SAFC, with injuries that maybe they can kind of play through, but you don't want to risk it sometimes. Maybe with Lucho, the idea was, let's not take any risks. You know, he's I think he's the wrong side of 30 now. Let's let him come back at his own pace. 32, is that what it is? So I mean, that's just speculation, but he came back, he delivered for SAFC, as I'm sure we'll get to. So obviously the time that he had to recover seemed to have worked, at least for now. Hopefully it's full recovery and he doesn't re-aggravate it or anything in a week or two.
Yeah, I got to say, I was kind of afraid it was a groin injury whenever he went down after he got hit by the ball in that area after he scored his penalty. And I was like, did he re-aggravate it in that way? Is that how it's going to happen? But I think that was him getting a moment to get the wind back in his lungs from that hit. So anyway, we'll go over some real quick gameplay. I believe it was in the 7th minute. There was a nice little interlude on the right side. Ball came over to Silva. Silva found himself in acres of space on the Hartford left side there in like zone 15, zone 13, and put in a nice cross. Chol met it, made the perfect run, found the space, great header. 1-0 San Antonio very early in this match. We know San Antonio FC's history with early goals. Rafa, I believe that was something you were talking about, was try to find the early goal. Do you want to expand upon that and kind of how that set the tone for the game?
Yeah, every time that we score, we pretty much, like I said, end up setting the tone of the game, and we start getting that flow, you know, get in the rhythm. Every time we play, you know, we play from behind, it really kind of dampers our things as far as our objective, as far as, you know, attacking the ball or the game plan and so forth. And we start kind of getting out of, now that we're more a possession team, kind of getting out of whack now, just sending long balls. So that goal was very important. It was a great cross by Lucas, great header by Chol, and hopefully that's maybe the goal of the week there. And he's just great placement there, which should have been nominated, because this is just a beautiful goal.
And I'll say no, because there were two from half field. So
yeah, but that's yeah. The run he made, you know, it's a difficult for him to score like that. It's a very difficult to really with the placement, and you know, like I said, to beat the keeper there and beat the defender there. So it's a great goal, and it was a great start for SAFC.
Absolutely. Matt, did you get a chance to watch this one? And
yeah, we were watching it during the tailgate.
And how did you feel about the start?
I didn't even get to see the first goal, but I saw everything else. So that I never saw the replay either for the first goal. So, but what I heard was it was a pretty aggressive goal.
That's what I mean. It was nice. It was a good cross. It wasn't your normal, you know, 90-degree cross. It was a nice 45-degree, and it's a great play. I thought it was a nice play, and it was very much kind of a next level, you know, a play that you would expect at this level of soccer, not just, you know, a simple kick it forward. It was a very well-worked play. On the other hand, continuing on through the gameplay, in the 28th minute, we had a little defensive breakdown at the half line. Epps held himself up at the half line. Bonnie and Tainer had switched at that point to try to get something going. Bonnie got caught up. Burks got caught up. It was ball went through three people, got to Epps. It was Epps and Mitch Tainer who tried to show him to the end line. Didn't quite get him to the end line, and Epps still found himself with enough space to sneak the ball between Tainer and Cisniega and the back post. 1-1, very nice finish. Fire hot, water wet, Marcus Epps scoring against SAFC again. I mean, that's just kind of how that goes, isn't it? Jonathan, you have any insight on the Epps goal?
Not too much more than that, but yeah, he's now scored for FC Tulsa when SAFC played there last year. He scored for Hartford now when SAFC played there. He also got an assist with Tulsa last year. He was involved in both of those goals. So
nothing from Phoenix?
I looked back on Transfermarkt. I don't even know if he ever played against SAFC in a Phoenix jersey, thankfully.
I'm not sure if he did either. Yeah.
So
I thought he did.
I think we might have remembered if he had, but yeah, looking back through their game-by-game records for those seasons, I don't think I saw him playing against SAFC. Or if he did, he didn't score. But yeah.
right.
So it's now that he's playing for other teams, it's only going to be obviously once or twice a year, and he's made it count for the last 6 to 9 months. And now...
What's up? Sorry, real quick, just to go there. What's up, Jason? What's up, Robert? Robert says, hi, fellas, except Matt. Yeah, all right, sure. So, anyway, Marcus Epp scoring against us. What are you going to do? That's one of those players that you definitely wanted to. Hey, what's up, Zane? A lot of people were kind of clamoring to keep. Can't keep everybody that you want to keep. It is what it is. I'm sure he's making plenty of money on Hartford with that crazy lineup. I guess we should have really started with that. Hartford Athletic is the Colorado Springs Switchbacks of the Eastern Conference now. I mean, they have Michy Galina. They just don't have Haji Berry, but they have Michy Galina. They have Deshane Beckford. They have the coach, Brendan Burke. And instead of Haji Berry, they have Epps, they have Romario Williams, they have an unbelievable lineup going forward. Everything else is kind of suspect, so which is very much a Colorado Springs Switchbacks special there. So as long as you can run with them or shut them down, you should be good. But a lot of teams will not be able to shut them down and cannot keep up with them. So, Robert's in here. Burke is a tool. Yeah, we kind of hammered him like a tool, didn't we, once again? So, anyway, continuing on in play, halftime came. Game was 1-1. I think SAFC had the upper hand on things. Hartford really, they had maybe one or two breaks. One of those they scored on. Otherwise, we kind of gathered him, kind of handled him.
We did have some problems on the wing. The speed was hurting us on the wing, you know, with Beckford's runs and so yeah. for a bit we had to hold on for a bit, and I think Marcina made kind of some of the adjustments there in that half to kind of slow them down, because you know Hartford had their chances on a couple of opportunities. And like I said, we were able to hang on to the third into the half, and then finally we got to turn it up in that second half.
I was about to say, to me, it didn't seem like Hartford was trying after the half. To me, at least. It didn't feel like they were trying. It was all defense.
No, I don't think it was a not try. I think we defended how we needed to defend against them, which they were really concentrating on attacking through the wings. And that can be our weak point if we, you know, if like in the beginning of the season, if our center backs are too tight with each other, like they were in the beginning, and you just have Shannon and either Luke or Silva, if they're too far spread out or if Silva's too far forward, then we can get exposed on the wings for sure. But what happened was we had Kevon Lambert kind of come back, help out. And that gave space and cover for our wide center backs, Bonnie and Tanner, to kind of go out and help cover the overlaps on the wing. And that kind of took care of that. And Hackinson made a lot of runs coming back and forth. And that really helped out as well. So going into the second half, SAFC once again tied at 1. But were the stronger team and looked like they were going to get the win. Once again, put a lot of stuff on frame. Hackinson had a header that was on the back post from a really nice cross that I thought was going to go in. It was right on the post. Harford's keeper made a really nice save. Just really couldn't break down. We just couldn't get that finish. We were breaking down their defense. We got the shots on goal. Just couldn't break down the finish until they got a little help from Hartford center back Joey. You want to try that one there, Jonathan?
Let me get the name in front of me. Let's see what we got here.
Is it Akpononu?
I would say Akpononu.
Sure. Joey Akpononu with a wonderful finish. I don't think any SAFC forward could have done better. Put it right in the corner of the net. Beautiful finish. 2-1 SAFC. Very unfortunate for that kid. Basically what happened in the second half, and one of the things the announcers were saying a lot about, is that the wind in Hartford, when the cloud cover hits, you know it's about to get windy. And dude, it got windy. They were showing some of the people out in the bar holding on for dear life to their umbrella at their table so it didn't fly into the field. It looked pretty sketchy for sure. And a lot of the reason that Hartford could not get into our half was literally nature. They would try to kick it long, the wind would get it, and it would go further back than they kicked it forward. So they just physically, unless they dribble through, which SAFC is tough to dribble through, they couldn't do their long ball over the top. So nature kind of came in and decided Hartford wasn't getting the long ball anymore. And SAFC had an easier time getting it forward. And what happened on the own goal, unfortunately for this Hartford kid, is the wind got to the ball. The cross kind of came in from Shannon Gomez and it kind of dips and he's trying to head it over. And instead of heading it over, it hits the wind and he heads it straight down right into the goal. It's a very nice finish. Continuing on, we get a couple more breaks as Hartford tries to push for the equalizer, and Lacey came on for Machop Chole in the 60th minute, and he found himself using his speed for a couple chances. One of them he shot right at the goalkeeper saved. If it would have gone here by the ear, which is where he was aiming, that's a goal. He missed by maybe a foot, goes off the arm. Nice save by the keeper. Another one was a very nice tackle, very close to being a penalty, but not a penalty. A very nice tackle from a Hartford player on another Cameron Lacey breakaway. And then on the third Cameron Lacey breakaway, he gets it. He controls it. Center back doesn't control themselves very well. Puts a shoulder right in the back of Lacey. Pretty clear penalty, if you ask me. Rafa, your thoughts on that penalty?
Yeah, prior to the penalty, because of one of the runs of Lacey, you look on one of the replays, he really, you know, he should have had at least scored on one of those opportunities. You know, just the way he took the angle of the ball, he kind of wide himself out instead of staying kind of direct. And I think he would have had a better opportunity as far as the space, because that allowed the goalkeeper to get covered pretty much his near post, and he was able to get that shot off. But on that play, on the penalty kick, like I said, that was a great run. You know, that defender had to do what he had to do. He had no choice.
You know, that's fair.
And give up the PK. But hey, we got it, and we're able to catch that in.
Yeah, and welcome back, Lucho. We know it's been a long road back. Lucho Libre's back, baby. Man, that's what he does, right? I know that's been a big thing that Harry's asked, is who's taking PKs? Who's taking PKs? Well, if Lucho's on the field, that man's taking PKs, because he is one of the more professional finishers we have for sure. Jonathan, you want to talk about the Lacey runs and the and the penalty?
Yeah, Lacey's one of the interesting things about this SAFC attack through the first month and a half is it's been sort of Agudelo and then a rotating cast around him. You know, there have been a few guys that Marcina has said, well, you know, I liked what he gave us coming on as a sub in the previous match, so I started him in this match. But you know, sometimes they don't always deliver when they're in the starting lineup, so you end up seeing these rotations. You see Lacey come on, and he was making an impact. He was running at the defense, creating some of that chaos, you know, pulling them apart. And in regards to what finally turned out to be a penalty. I don't remember who it was, but I think someone in this in our group chat said maybe it's a little soft. But as we've discussed, SAFC was the better team, so it's not like it was undeserved. So all three goals, you can kind of put a little bit of the blame on Hartford. You know, not the best defending on the first one, obviously heading in the second one and committing that PK for the third one. But SAFC, just the way they were playing, deserved the win. So maybe you raise a bit of an eyebrow. You say, well, you know, if not for that late help from Hartford, you're looking at another draw. But SAFC deserved the win. They got the win. You take 3 points, you move on.
Absolutely. That was definitely one of my conclusions from this is you never apologize for winning. So no matter how you do it, it don't matter.
Question.
Go ahead, Matt.
Has Agudelo seemed a bit short lately?
What do you mean by that? Physically or? So Agudelo, so in the last two matches, he has been not listed as a forward. He's been listed as a midfielder. So he has been listed kind of as a facilitator, and that's on purpose for Marcina. I think what Marcina saw, and one of the things that Jonathan had mentioned in some interviews was that they're going to try different things to get different looks, to get different space, to get more space for their forwards to try to score more, because that's the big thing we're missing, right, is offense. So Agudelo has been basically as a 10, allowing Hernandez to kind of play the Christian Pirana role, where he just kind of roams. He's a roamer. He's a rover coach. So he goes wherever the space is, and Agudelo's at 10. He's the focal point. So Agudelo will head the ball. He'll flick on. He's just there to create space for Chol or Lacey or whoever's there. And man, it's an unsung job. It's basically the same job he did for Birmingham. And I know a lot of people complained about him with Birmingham the last couple seasons that, oh, he didn't score that many goals. He wasn't there to score goals, brother. He's there to create space and create offense. And can you really argue against it? Orange County, one of the best teams in the league. We created chances. We just didn't finish. Hartford Athletic, one of the better teams in the East. We scored 3 goals, and we had many more chances than that from creating the space and creating those chances. So he's kind of doing that unsung job of creating space. So is he going to be scoring goals? You may not see him on the score sheet, but he's doing his job and he's working hard as ever. And that's why he's one of the leaders. That's why SAFC signed him. He is a leader. He would very much fit in with the Dallas Stars team this season, where their motto is less is more. You may not get as many goals, you may not get as many minutes, but the team is going to succeed because of it. And that's kind of what the role Agudelo is taking now. So the subs in this match, kind of as we talked about earlier, Chol came off. He's on a minute's watch. He's trying to get back to full fitness from his injury last season, which is why he's with SAFC. He should be an MLS starter. He's going to show the league and MLS that he should be an MLS starter, but he just needs to get healthy. So Lacey came on for Chol, got those runs, and that's kind of what Lacey does. The guy is just an energizer bunny. He's running everywhere at pace. I lost count how many times I saw him go from center back to goalkeeper to center back in a dead sprint, trying to put pressure on Hartford to make sure they were uncomfortable trying to distribute the ball. So big ups to Lacey on that one. Just hard worker, absolute hard worker. Another sub that came in, Lucho came in for Agudelo, and Lucho's there as a finisher, and that's what he did. So it was great to see Lucho back on the field. We know he's been fighting that injury bug, and hopefully he's got the best of it at this point. And then the final sub was Burra came on for Hackinson and really just locked down that midfield, and they just really just shut things down from there on. Burr is such an underrated player. I think he's going to be, I think you're going to look back and later this season, I think Burr is going to be one of those unsung heroes and one of those MVPs of the team. So, Matt, your thoughts on the match? 3-1 victory against Hartford at Hartford on the road, our first win on the road, and a really nice convincing one at that. You have any thoughts?
It was well deserving. I mean, that own goal kind of gave it a little bit of a boost to them. So my thoughts, but good win, well deserved, and it was nice to see Mitchell playing in front of his family. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Good shout. That's a good shout. Absolutely. Missy Tanner, if you're watching, good to see you. That was great. Yeah, a lot of family and friends for Tanner over there for sure. Rafa, your thoughts on the win?
Unmute.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. So the performance we had last week, you know, with Orange County, this was a kind of like a step up. But plus also, but you know, this is the first game of two back-to-back on the road. It's a good confidence booster for the squad. Good confidence booster for Lucho for getting his first goal. For Chol too. So it's and especially that goose head we kind of landed in Las Vegas, which we just didn't do well here. Like I said, we really stepped up. And that's where the team should be playing at. You know, hopefully that can continue on. And we can do the same thing this coming Saturday at Miami. And but it's a great win. I'm sure the boys, you know, coming back felt good about it. And it's, like I said, it's a move in the right direction.
What are your thoughts on Cisniega's performance?
I think a lot better. I think on that goal, I think just kind of watching that, I think he could have done a little bit better to kind of defend that. I think if he maybe attacked him, you know, close the space a little bit, maybe he would have, you know, gotten the chance to kind of deflect that shot. But, you know, what can you say? You know, it was a great shot, great placement on the shot. So, but still, there's little things. But, you know, he's not making bonehead errors like getting scored on from 50 yards out. So
damn dog.
I mean you can't do that as a goalkeeper. So I mean you can't do that as a keeper. So I mean that, you know, that goal, you know, they scored on, hey, that's just great placement, you know. It's just a great shot. But him, you know, like I said, but he's getting better. I mean, he's doing what exactly he's supposed to be doing as a keeper, but you know, and our defense also has a big role on that. I think had they didn't fall asleep on that play, you know, maybe they could have defended well, and maybe he would have had the clean sheet.
Damn, such a low blow, bro. That's such a low blow.
Just in case anyone's curious, he's speaking generally.
I mean, you can't. I mean, he's not doing, like if you saw, you know, like I said, when it comes to goalkeeping, you can't be, you know, he is not doing mistakes. You know, the goals he's allowed, maybe the one in Las Vegas, he should have had that one. But the goals he's allowed haven't been like mental mistakes or really bonehead mistakes that should have been cleared out, you know. And it's just on that part is because of our defending. But, you know, at least the thing is he's not doing stuff that it's costing us games or stuff or, you know, costing us points. So, you know, so you got to give props to him. He's consistent, but he's not doing errors that we saw a lot from last year.
Correct. I 100% agree. I will say kind of for him, this goal against Hartford, I think he expected Mitch to show Epps to the side. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of why he was more worried about the near post than the far post. Epps just turned expertly and put the ball exactly where it needed to go. So I don't fault Cisniega as much for that. I know a lot of people were saying, you know, his positioning could have been better, but I think he expected Tanner to show him to the end line. And I think he was more afraid of a cross than that shot. And yeah, you know, you got a tip your cap. Nice shot, Epps.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? 3-1. You still take that win on the road. I think it's a great result. And I think at the end of the season, we'll see that result for the quality result. It was, Jonathan, your thoughts on the win?
Yeah. Just kind of building off the, Cisniega, something in the last sort of two matches now, besides obviously the Epps goal, particularly after Orange County Alan Marcina was saying, you know, he didn't really have anything that he had to worry about, you know, maybe one or two routine saves. In this one, obviously the Epps goal, but then you guys even were talking about, especially after halftime, it seemed like SAFC kind of neutralized Hartford. Sometimes a goalkeeper looks as well as the defense in front of them lets them look. And we might kind of get into a little bit of that sort of defense goalkeeper interaction later when we talk about SAFC's upcoming match, spoiler alert. But I think sometimes if you're able to depend on that defense in front of you, if you're sort of staying maybe more in your goal, then you're able to just focus on the goalkeeping. And I know the way the sport has shifted over the last sort of 10, 15 years, yeah, you're seeing goalkeepers come out more, play the ball more with their feet, but there's nothing wrong with just depending on having a great defense in front of you and on occasion having to come up with a big save or two. We've seen that in the past with SAFC, with Diego Restrepo. Yeah, even I would argue, I know we took a bit of a shot at Jordan Farr, but he as well has at times been able to just make great saves because he's able to trust the defense in front of him to do some of that work a little ahead of him, a little ahead of, you know, the box and all that. And I will also say, because we kind of brought it up, this is kind of just a completely different note, but I'm surprised we haven't seen more of Bura so far this season, because he's looked really useful when he's come on. I guess maybe it's just kind of a case of who are you going to play in that sort of central midfield spot, because you really only have usually one person there, maybe two, if you really want to control the midfield. But more often than not, Marcina is opting for, you know, you have Lambert and then your two wingbacks, obviously, and then the two other sort of more central midfielders, you're looking at more attacking guys. You're looking at Hernandez in every single game. And then, you know, usually Luke Hawkinson now is getting that role. So it's a bit unfortunate for Bura. He's a great player. There just isn't as much of a window for him to get into that team right now.
Yeah, I think 2 points on that. I like that point and to kind of respond to it. I think he's kind of a victim of two things. Number one, the offense being kind of stagnant in the beginning of the season and trying to get that going. And they're kind of being a premium on creating chances, especially against kind of teams we should beat. And I think the second one might be because Kevon Lambert is on loan from RSL. And I'm wondering if there is a clause in that loan that says he needs a certain amount of minutes in the season. Maybe, maybe not, but at the same rate, I do think if we go against stronger opposition, especially stronger offensive opposition, mainly Lou City or Sac Republic, I'd be very interested to see if we go with Kevon Lambert and Bura in a double pivot in the midfield and then have Agudelo, Hernandez, and then a striker in front of them to try to facilitate some offense, but to worry about the defense first. I'll be interested to see that, or maybe if we make like a longer run, knock on wood, in the U.S. Open Cup, maybe you'll see that as well to try to really nail down that midfield. So I do like that point. But as we were talking about goalkeepers, let's look ahead. Some really next match is going to be Saturday against Miami in Miami. Jonathan has some very interesting stats here about Miami recently. And their goalkeeper, who's kind of been amazing, but really just getting hung out to dry. Jonathan, more to you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was just kind of, as I had some time earlier today, looking up some statistics and just some interesting things to kind of tell us what the story might be going into this match in Miami. But since you bring up the goalkeeper, that was something interesting I noticed, is he currently leads the league with 25 saves. And yet, Miami has conceded the second most goals in the league. So what does that tell you? Kind of that's a really porous defense, that they're letting a lot of chances come through. And even though this guy's making a lot of saves, he's also letting in a lot of goals because there's just so much going at his goal. And so, like I was saying earlier, if you're able to depend on that defense, you know, I would almost say for goalkeepers, in terms of the number of saves you make, you want to be mid-table. You want to come up with those big saves when needed, but you don't want to have to make too many of them. You want the defense in front of you to be getting interceptions, clearances, those kinds of things. And it doesn't seem like that's happening for Miami. And on a more broader scale, looking at the bigger picture, this is a Miami team that's now lost 4 straight matches. They actually, everyone was kind of saying, oh, they're going to be a terrible team. And then they won their first match. And it's like, oh, wow, okay, you know what? Maybe they're not going to be so bad. Looking back, they beat Colorado Springs Switchbacks in the first game of the season. How are the Switchbacks doing? Not great. So it's one of those that, looking back now, it's like, yeah, those are two of the teams that are very unlikely to make the playoffs, you have to say, or, you know, or at least having really rough starts to the season. So, okay, they got that win. Great. Since then, it's been, I believe, a loss, a win, and now 4 losses, or a loss, a draw, and 4 losses. So they're back to being the Miami that everyone sort of expects them to be.
Yeah, those first 3 results of the season, which was a 2-0 win against Colorado Springs, and then the 1-0 loss, the narrow loss to Sacramento, and then the 2-2 draw to Orange County. Definitely had some people turning their heads, and then 4 straight losses. So kind of tough for Miami. And like you said, porous defense. They didn't really sign anybody on their back line that really, you know, was really a big splash. I know they try to go like the Italian route, and they signed a few players from like Serie B and Serie C. But man, yeah, that defense, I don't want to say you have to be a name to be a good defender, but at this point, if we've heard of you, you're probably a decent defender, and they really haven't signed anybody back there. And their goalkeeper, it's really getting hung out to dry, unfortunately. So, Matthew, do you know of any watch parties this weekend for this match against Miami?
I know Crocs are doing one. Sorry, I cut myself.
Attaboy.
I know, right?
But you don't have to be that. You don't have to be that emotional. It's just one little loss to Austin. It's okay. Like, not a big deal for Houston. It's okay. It's okay.
What do you call it? I know we're gonna do one at London Pub, and then for FTCN 2-1-0.
Okay. At London Pub, where's London Pub?
Rafa, can you help me out here?
Gilbo and Bandura Road, right next to Crunch Fitness.
Really? Hmm? Okay. My side of town for once. Okay. Okay, sure.
We're right across from Derek's favorite place, the House of Joy. Shout out to Derek.
So, yeah, and shout out to Derek. You can literally walk to the pub.
Let's not give people's addresses now, huh? Let's not do that.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just trying to throw out there, Derek, freaking walk. Anyways. Sure. I know the Crocs are doing over at Alamo.
Crocs at Alamo Beer, as per usual, over there off of, well, it's not Burleson, but pretty close to the...
Lamar?
Is it Lamar? Like the Hayes Street Bridge? Hayes Street Bridge?
That sounds right.
Right? Yeah. Oh, you people. Yeah, everybody knows what I'm talking about, right? So
yeah, you can look it up. There's only one Alamo Brewery.
Yeah, true.
And speaking of the brewery, before we try to move on, I believe the Crocketeers are doing a sort of extra with this watch party where if you register through Eventbrite, you get a brewery tour. I don't know if it costs anything, but they arranged to do that. That's something else that if you're going out to the watch party, maybe you'd be interested in that. Just throwing that out there.
And what time is this game? It's East Coast time, right? So it's 6:30 our time?
I believe so. I want to say 6 our time.
Yeah, 6 o'clock our time. Yep, 6 our time. So if you want to go to that brewery tour, probably need to be there around 5 hour before game time. Get the tour. I don't know how robust their tour is. I've been to a few brewery tours. One of them was open a door. Hey, look, that's where we brewed the beer. And that was it. And then I've been to Sam Adams and Coors and Budweiser that are a lot more robust where you go through and they show you the ingredients and everything. So I assume it's going to fall somewhere in between there, but it still sounds like a really neat little deal. Plus you get to watch SAFC at their nice little setup over there at Alamo Beer.
Or join. Is that a Brahma's game?
Could be.
Ask Robert.
That's a great question. Robert, get in the comments. Is there a Brahma's game Saturday? So great question.
We do have Flambeau Parade. So that's,
that's tough.
So if you are traveling down, I guess to Alamo, just be aware of the traffic there downtown. And I think there's also the margarita pour ups happening.
Sounds like London Pub might be the move.
Yeah. So you want to avoid the traffic?
Yeah.
Go to London Pub.
It is Fiesta week, weekend. But still,
if you want, try to go to Alamo. Mm-hmm. If that's up to y'all, though.
For sure. Now, if that's where you want to go there. It's just beware of traffic. Like, plan for it because traffic's not going to be great. Happy Fiesta, everybody, by the way. I'm not going downtown, but good luck with those $18 mini tacos and $15 beers down there.
I'm going
ridiculous. Tomorrow. Ridiculous, man. So, but hope everyone's having fun. I believe that's all we're going to cover tonight. Is that good? Just Miami preview. And then, I guess the one bit of news that did come out today, there was a press conference, on October 12th, later this year. We are going to have El Clásico Regio in the Alamo Dome. Last year it was in Houston at Shell Energy Stadium. This year it'll be at the Alamo Dome, and that will pit Monterrey against Tigres, two crosstown rivals there in Monterrey in Nuevo León, Mexico. Should be great. I assume.
Favorite teams.
Sure. I assume. Yeah, Rafa is definitely all about that. Was it Tejas es por Tigres, which is what the dude kept saying. I assume it's going to be a friendly. Last year in Houston, it was a friendly.
This is never going to be a friendly.
I mean, a match that doesn't count in the league friendly. But what? But I haven't heard anything official that this is a friendly. I haven't seen anybody say it's official. I haven't seen anybody say it's a friendly. So I'm not sure. I wish I could give you the report. I've asked all over the place. I haven't gotten a straight answer. So shrug. I mean, on the Tigres publication, it doesn't say, was it Amistad is friendly? In the Monterrey publications, it doesn't say. I know Rafa's giving me the give me a second. I'm doing research finger. So
So October 7th through the 15th, it is an official FIFA.
It's a FIFA window, yeah.
Window. So there. So what's more likely going to be
a friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought, and that's what it was last season. That's what I assumed it would be, but I never got word. I never got confirmation. So if I can't confirm it, I'm not going to say it. We can confirm it. It is in that FIFA window once again. It will be a friendly, the least friendly of all time, probably this one. Tigres and Monterrey, they get after it. They're loud. Should be fun. And if you're just an observer, you know, try to find a neutral stand and just enjoy the noise, because I guarantee it'll get loud in the Alamo Dome. Alamo Dome, one of the louder stadiums I've ever been in, period, for any event. So I'm sure it's going to get super loud in there. Matt, you have any thoughts on Tigres versus Monterrey coming to the Alamo Dome?
I might go to it, depending on what time, just to check it out.
Sure. Jonathan, I believe you'll be in Colorado Springs, correct? Because SAFC plays Colorado Springs pretty much at the exact same time as the game.
Yeah, that's my assumption, is that we will be doing a check trip up there. Maybe not this year. I don't know. Maybe we'll take a take a year off from Colorado Springs or something. I mean, this is October. We've never been there this late or early in the year. So, yeah, who knows what the weather is going to be like at that point. And even then, you know, we might be there for a few days and it could be 80 one day and then snowing and, you know, 20, 30 something the next day. So we've seen how the weather can change up there. But anyway, yeah, it kind of works out because like I was telling you guys before we came on, I don't think we'd really have any interest in this. But for those that want to go, enjoy. I'm sure it'll be a fun, interesting atmosphere. And Rafa will stay home and laugh at both teams.
Sure. It sounds like a nice night. But tickets apparently go on sale 10 a.m. Wednesday, May 1st for pre-sale. And then they go on sale to the public 10 a.m. Friday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. So just be on the lookout for that. That's all I got.
You know what I found out? What's it's that? Cheaper to go to the stadium to get tickets. I didn't know they still sell tickets at like the Alamo Dome and
It's slightly cheaper. They still charge you a convenience fee. From experience, I thought the same thing. I went to go get tickets for an unspecified event for my family. And I think it was like $2 a ticket cheaper because they didn't charge like an internet fee. Because you get charged an internet fee that's like $2.50 a ticket. They don't charge you that at the Alamo Dome, but they still charge you the service fee. They still charge you taxes. It's basically the exact same charge. So
hey, I was supposed to pay $600 and I only paid $350.
Sure.
Plus, sure. I like to bring flags at the Alamo Dome too.
And what they didn't tell you was you were actually only supposed to pay $100 and they swindled you out of an extra $250 to go to MLS games because who would pay to go watch MLS? So anyway, let's continue on. Let's get the final thoughts. I think it's about time we got out of here. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Let us know your thoughts in the comments or tweet at us. Hit us out on Facebook. Let us know your thoughts on the win against Hartford and what you're looking forward to against Miami. Let's go to Matt. Matt, your final thoughts?
Hope to see everybody out there on Saturday. Be safe. Get an Uber if you can. And just enjoy this fiesta.
Sure. Rafa, your final thoughts?
Just final thoughts. So everybody out there, be safe during fiesta. Know when to say when. Looking forward for another road win for the boys there at Miami. Hopefully we can pepper them with a bunch of goals. And then we're back at it May 4th here, back here at Toyota. So we're looking forward for that game. And then I didn't get to say this on Sunday, but a la Madrid, adios Barcelona. We're going to win the Liga.
Gross. Real quick question. London Pub and Sub is at...
Pub and Sub.
It used to be Pub and Sub. It's just Pub now. They don't do subs anymore. Yeah, they just haven't changed it.
Sure. It's at 8425 Bandera Road, 78250. Is this a 21 and up only or 21 and up only, just a bar? Okay. Just checking. Wanted to check. So Alamo Beer is all ages. They do have food trucks. They have a nice setup for the kids they have a turf field and stuff. So if you want to go kick the ball around, that is an all ages thing. FTC, the San Antonio and 210 Alliance at pub at London Pub here off Bandera Road. That's 21 and up only. Jonathan, your final thoughts?
Yeah. First of all, this is kind of going back a little bit, but they did finally post Jose Gallegos' jersey for auction. It is currently at $96. I guess it converts it to whatever your local currency is. And there are about four and a half days roughly to bid still. Kind of curious if it's maybe a San Antonio person who's put in that bid. I don't really know how else you're supposed to get
Robert, do not bid against me. Robert, do not bid against me.
But I mean, on a more serious note, just kind of building off of that, it's really cool that they're getting closer and closer to promotion. I mean, legitimately, this next show we do, hopefully this next weekend, if our lives are normal and not crazy, we could be telling you, tune in to the Superliga next year. You will see Jose and Sundiuska there again, unless he gets, you know, transferred.
Yeah. You'll see Sundiuska. We're not sure about Gallegos in the summer. So, exactly.
But that's going to be, you know, really good. And he's, over the last couple of years, grown and, you know, helped them make that push, get back to the Superliga. So it's not like he's just been a bench warmer the entire time. Like his playing time and, you know, he as a player have grown, you know, been recognized for it too. I don't know if we talked about it, but a couple of weeks ago he got recognized as, I think, the player of the month for March for the club.
That was player of the game.
I thought it was
It was of the month. It was of February and March.
Yeah.
Because they're winter break. So they just combined February and March. He was the Sundiuska player of the month for March. Yep.
Yeah. So it's just going to be really good to, even if he does move somewhere else, you know, he was a part of that promotion and, you know, isn't that so cool to be part of a club that works hard and, you know, finishes toward the top of the league and gets to move up the next year back where they used to be. Really cool concept. If only we could do something like that here in the U.S.
And they get to Europa League.
Gee. Anyway, my final thoughts, very simple. Don't drink and drive. Get a cab, get an Uber. There's so many options available. Whether you're at Fiesta, whether you're at one of the watch parties, don't drink and drive. Just don't. It's not worth it. Not worth the risk to you. Not worth the risk to everybody else. Just don't. It's very simple to get a taxi. Very cheap Ubers, $10-$20. A lot better than $10,000-$20,000 in legal fees or 10 or 20 years in jail. So just pay the $10 or $20. Go to Uber it up. So stay safe, everyone. Thanks for joining in. Really appreciate y'all. Let's go SAFC. Let's get those 3 points in Miami. Let's get this winning streak going. Looking forward to seeing everybody this weekend. Hopefully at I'll try to go to London Bar. We'll see how that goes. So what's Life Without Goals? Thanks for joining us. Good night.